Hello and welcome to the Checkpoint Reach podcast. I'm your host Luke Eldon, and today I'm joined by Sudden Perks. How are you doing, guys?
I'm good.
All right, not bad.
Good to hear. Lockdown, not got to you yet?
Not really, because it's getting to the point.
Mildly depressed.
It's just getting to the point where it's like normal now. So it just feels normal. It feels like this is what it's going to be like forever, doesn't it?
Oh, mate, I hope not.
But you know what I mean? You get, like, after a few weeks, you kind of get just used to it, and it's like, oh, this is how it is.
Yeah. It has definitely become the new norm.
Yeah, unfortunately so. And, you know, wherever you are in the world listening to this, we hope you're safe and well and not struggling too much with lockdown. But we are here to discuss some gaming news today, and we wanted to jump into the first topic. But before we do, if you're listening to us on YouTube, please like, subscribe and comment with your thoughts on the topics we're going to cover today. And if you're listening to us on any audio platforms, please leave us a nice review and also pass on the pod. But yeah, let's jump into it. It's the PS5 Epic Games Unreal Engine 5 demo. Obviously, this dropped a couple of days ago now, I believe. Maybe around Wednesday. I'm not too sure. Don't hold me to
that.
I think it was Wednesday. Well, every day just seems the same.
I know, yeah. Could have been any
of this. Yeah, but this is a drop, and it did look pretty cool, to be fair. And a lot of people were pretty hyped from the comments I've seen. Obviously, yeah. Very disappointed after the Inside Xbox, and then PS5 dropped this week. Yeah, it seems people are definitely favouring PS5 at the moment.
Yeah, there was very much a lot of rip Xbox, yeah, lol Xbox, that. All these troll comments going on in the comments. Yeah, exactly. But to be honest, I think we all kind of saw that coming.
Yeah, unfortunately. Did we actually not all say after the Inside Xbox show, and I bet you any money in the next few days Sony will show something off?
Yeah.
I mean, I know it wasn't technically Sony that showed it off, but they clearly have some sort of partnership with Epic, don't they? Marketing partnership.
They saw their opportunity and they took it, and can't blame them for
that. I mean, I think we have to reiterate, this engine will clearly be running games on Series X and PS5. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
But clearly Sony have got some sort of, you know, gravitas with Epic at the minute. They've obviously, I think they've been, they did a lot of bundles with Fortnite, didn't they, with their PS4s. So I'm wondering if it's, they've obviously got some sort of like agreement or arrangement to look favourably on them on PlayStation at the minute. Because even, I don't know if you two saw the comments from, I think his name's Tim Sweeney, who I think is,
yeah,
I don't know what he is at Epic, CEO. But I know he's, CEO, right. He was being very, because he had an interview, didn't he, with, was it Jeff Keighley? He had an interview with him at the end of the presentation.
Yeah, it's like that festival summer thing.
Summer Game Fest, I think. And he said, didn't he, like, oh, things like the PlayStation 5, this is only possible because of how the fast SSD and the PS5 and even high-end PCs can't do it. And obviously didn't really talk about Xbox, probably because I'm assuming, well, probably not allowed, maybe. But he did, however, then go on to say that this, obviously, Unreal Engine 5 will be being used for all platforms, all next-gen platforms. So, and he even said that he wants it to, you know, to be able to use it on current-gen platforms and even phones, I think he said. So, obviously with a lot of downgrades.
Yeah, I imagine so.
But I think people have maybe jumped on the bandwagon a little bit too soon, saying, I've heard comments such as, oh, this proves the PS5 secretly is better than the Xbox, more, you know, technically more powerful, and it's like, I'm not so sure about that. I think clearly, I think we all know by now anyway, we knew anyway that the PS5's main draw point is going to be their SSD. I think we already knew that anyway from the Mark Cerny presentation where they were bigging it up.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think even
definitely
Phil Spencer,
focused on speed.
I think I remember even an interview with Phil Spencer where he said, you know, he was asked about the PS5 reveal and he said, like, oh, they're doing interesting things with the SSD, which pretty much equates to, they've probably got a better one than us. But
I'd imagine so.
Pretty much. Yeah, so I think it's interesting because a lot of people are saying, aren't they, next gen, that maybe we've been too quick to presume that the Series X is going to be, you know, this powerhouse and it's going to outperform the PS5 and everything. And people are now saying, like, oh, well, be careful because SSD this gen seems like it's going to be pretty important. So I don't think we'll get, I don't think we'll actually know until we can see both consoles properly. Let's be honest, the PS5 hasn't been revealed yet. How are we supposed to draw any conclusions from that demo when we haven't even seen the box or the machine or, yeah, we've seen the specs, but until you actually see it running, you can't tell, can you? So until we see the Series X, until we actually get our hands on that, until, you know, we get our hands on the PS5, I don't think we can really make too many presumptions yet, really. I don't know if you agree with that. I think people are jumping the gun a little bit too soon for me.
I think that footage that we saw could have easily been running on an Xbox Series X.
Mm.
Unpopular opinion to all the
some people disagree. I saw some people disagree.
Yeah,
with that.
Like I know it is unpopular, yeah. And I've led with that for a reason. But I just think, you know, when we see the specs, and we have said this a few times in the past, but when you see the specs on paper and then you see them on the screen, it's quite often very different. Just because the PlayStation is faster, technically, just because the Xbox is more powerful, technically, when you look at numbers, you don't really know that the translation of that until you see it side by side. It doesn't sit well with me that Xbox couldn't put that same demo out. At this point, in what we're building up to the next gen, if they couldn't do that, then
I think I'm a bit worried. What some people were saying is that they could obviously put that demo out, but it would just look a little bit different in terms of maybe on the Series X, there'd be more popping with textures and stuff like that, you know, because obviously it's a bit slower. The SSD's a bit slower. So the things would lag a bit more. So I think that's the point people were trying to make. Like maybe you'd see more sort of textures popping in on the Series X one. Whereas on that PS5 one, it looked very smooth, didn't it? It didn't look like it was popping at all. The textures looked smooth and things like that. There was no hiccups really. So I think that's what people were saying. It would obviously run on a Series X. And, you know, in terms of graphical power, it would probably look a bit better on the Series X. But people are saying it would run a bit slower. So it's like, it seems like this is going to be...
speed versus power.
This is going to be... I mean, I think we even said this with the Mark Cerny presentation, didn't we? I think we said when it was they were all revealed, it's going to be a generation of speed versus power.
Yeah.
100%. It seems to me. And I don't know... I don't know if you agree. I think it's going to depend game on game, which is better for which, to be honest with you. There might be some games where the SSD does make a big difference and it runs better because of that, but I think there's also going to be games where the extra power of the Series X will make the game look and feel
it's
better.
It's just like anything to do with speed v power, isn't it? Different matchups and styles will suit either or.
Yeah, I agree.
So it'll be interesting to see with that. I think as well, though, one thing we should just quickly touch on with the Series X that might go in its favor. There are rumors, or I guess, rumors, very small rumors, that it might be $400.
Oh, I did see this, yeah. This was reported a few days ago, wasn't it? Yeah. I did see that rumor. I
can't imagine it.
I don't know. It's one of them plays where if it actually happens, it's a sort of, oh my God moment, isn't it? Like, wow, that's like £100 cheaper. Like that is a big difference. Now, would it be a big enough difference to make them like win the generation? No, I don't think so. I still don't think they'd outsell the PS5. They'd probably gain back their territories in America and UK.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably pretty certain because, as we know, 360, UK, and you had a big hold on the UK and US, didn't it, in terms of sales over the PS3. I think that could happen again. But the PS5 would still probably worldwide. We know it's a bigger brand. We know it sells more in Europe, stuff like that, Japan. So in terms of that, I don't think it'd be much difference. But I think in terms of narrative and making themselves look better for their core audience, yeah, I think that would be a massive move. I think it would give PlayStation a headache, definitely. It's even one of those scenarios where I can imagine that sort of happening, where they say, oh, it's £100 cheaper, then immediately, 2 days later, you know, Sony go, oh, actually, no, sorry, what did we... We said 500, I meant 400, actually. It'd be one of them, wouldn't it, where you can
make
imagine...
Make adjustments where...
Making, yeah, or putting it down by, like, $50 or something, or if they can't put it down by 100, or something to soften the blow. I think this is what Microsoft kind of did, didn't they, in the Xbox One reveal days, where they kind of softened the blow by saying, oh, well, you know, was it like, we're going to reduce the price a little bit, and... Yeah. Oh, sorry, DRM. It's not actually DRM anymore. We've changed. And
I mean, their hands were tied on that one. Yeah. They couldn't have carried on full steam ahead with that.
No, definitely.
I think this rumor pretty much goes hand in hand with the fact that no one wants to go first.
Yeah.
No. Like, we've said this for some time. Like, we don't know the costs. We know speculative figures and rumors that pop up all over the place, but we just don't know the costs. People are expecting high end, $500, £500, or around that mark, and who's going first, man? Because if Microsoft did go first, and if by miracle they decided to be incredibly generous and without doubt make a loss, if they came in at $400,
they'd make a huge loss on each console.
Like, Sony would have no choice. Sony couldn't just come to market at $500. It would have to begin with a four to at least trick people's minds.
Yeah.
Even if it was like 480. Yeah, exactly. Like they would have to do something like that just because that's how marketing works.
Well, in the current rumor mill, and we have to be careful because it is only rumors, but they're saying the PlayStation reveal is probably going to be in June. So, but I mean, could they possibly reveal a console and just not say the price? Maybe. Could they get away with it? It's not what it's traditionally done, but maybe they think, oh, we could get away with this.
If it was followed up like a month later or something like that. You know, if there was like a show in June and then maybe one in July or something with more information and a bit more of a
deeper dive
into it.
Microsoft are certainly... I know they say about, oh, we're doing July because we're not ready yet, but I think there's definitely some tactics going on there. They want to do July because they're thinking we want to wait as long as possible for Sony to actually reveal to make sure that we're second. Because I don't know if you remember that this gen especially, you know, with the E3s, Microsoft have always gone first and then Sony have always trumped them by going second and doing something bigger and better. So I think they're thinking it's better to go second this time on this one. I don't know about you. I wouldn't be shocked if the PS5 was revealed in June. I think it makes sense. We haven't heard anything from Sony for a long time now, really. I mean, we saw that deep dive on the PS5, that, you know, fall asleep conference.
that was interesting if you were interested in specs and like technical jargon, but it was boring, not from like a console point of view. No.
But apart from that, we've not seen anything. I mean, we've seen this little demo, but it's not, you know, that's from Epic, really. Rather than it's not PS5 showing much.
Well, time's running out, though, isn't it, really? They're going to have to announce it sooner or later.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, if they want to get it out for November, they need to announce it soon.
They need to get
pre-orders, don't they? They want to get their pre-order numbers up, so they're going to have to start doing it soon.
I guess on the flip side, I will say it's kind of refreshing that we haven't had everything so far and we're all on tenterhooks and we're like, you know, what's going on? There's no spoilers as much as there are rumors. I mean, there's a different rumor every day, but I find it quite fun going into the reveal periods where we're not actually getting that much truly spoilt for us in the traditional run into like E3s. You know what's going to be there, and you know what the presentation is before you even watch it. This is a little bit different.
Yeah, we've seen like people saying like, "Oh, I know this and stuff like that," but which some of them might come true. When you see a list, don't you? Like, this is what's going to be revealed, and it's like, yeah, some of them probably will be true, but it's not hard to guess some of them. So,
well, yeah, I mean, that's the nature of throwing rumors out there, isn't it? You're going to be right if you apply logic. Yeah,
yeah, but
I don't know, man. Like, I'm okay with if it's June, July for both of them. I'm quite okay with that. And if we're in the dark leading right up to it, and when you actually get hit with that show, that presentation, however they do it, I don't know. I'm quite down for that.
Yeah, I agree. I think we'd all like to see the PS5 be revealed soon, wouldn't we? We just want to kind of know what it looks like more than anything. I do anyway.
I'm really intrigued. I want to see it. Obviously, there's, you know, we saw those dev kits that were going around, and I don't think it's going to look like that.
It can't look like that, surely.
I mean, I'm 95% confident it won't.
No.
I'll leave the 5% there just in case.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's some sort of like V-shape thing that they try and put in the middle of the box or something, but it definitely won't. The whole console won't be a V-shape.
No.
I think that'd be awful.
Those little toasters were not consoles.
No. The last thing I remember, like, having the, like, you know, letter in it or whatever, was obviously the original Xbox.
Yeah, the X. With the big X.
I used to think that was quite cool, actually, but
that's what I mean about... That's what I mean about, I can imagine them doing something like that where they've got like a V in the middle of the console or something like lit up, or you know what I mean? But I can't imagine it actually being practically like that.
I'm going to imagine it looks sleek and nice and it would fit well in a home design. Like, it wouldn't be just V shape.
I wouldn't be shocked if they've had to do some sort of like box design as well, like Xbox. Maybe not to the same extent as Xbox, but it might be a more vertical looking console than we're used to. Just because what they're using and the components are pretty similar, let's be honest, in both consoles. So maybe it'll be like that, but it'll be interesting to see if it'll be black and white as well.
Like, yeah, is it going to match the controller?
Which would be interesting.
You'd assume so.
Maybe.
Otherwise, the controller's going to look really weird.
Yeah, it is going to look weird if it's just a black or just a white console. It's going to look a bit strange.
Yeah, but, unless they renege on the controller and make it all one colour, because I don't think people were too fond of the colour scheme and the way that it was actually put together. Like, the dual colours is nice, but not like that.
I mean,
it has to be designed properly.
there's no reason why they couldn't just have that dual controller as an optional controller and maybe have the, you know, the normal black one as a as the one you pack into the console. Maybe that'd probably be sensible. If they're going to go down a one color design anyway. But yeah, just going back to the SSD thing though, I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on just the whole like narrative around this, like the fanboyism around the whole, oh, you know, like it's, it does seem, doesn't it, like PlayStation has gained the sort of social media momentum again thanks to this and the poor Xbox showing, of course.
Yeah, I'll be honest on like fanboyism and stuff, and it might sound a bit bizarre for someone who's on a gaming podcast and plays games for so many hours per week, even per day. I don't really care. I've always kind of, I don't know, maybe when I was like 14, 15, 16, I was a bit more interested in which console is going to, or which brand is going to win the war and all this. And I don't really have time for it. I mean, I look at comment sections to garner what people are saying and which directions people are favoring or not for that matter. But fanboyism in general, I'm not bothered. It's not going to influence my decision what I'm going to do in the next generation anyway.
No, I'm the same. I think, it's to be expected, isn't it? You know, each console has the fanboys, and it just seems that Sony and PS5 or the PlayStation 4 seem to have more, so whenever they drop something, they get a better reaction. It doesn't help, though, that Xbox seem to shoot themselves in the foot a lot of the times. I mean,
it's
this
weird,
is
though, isn't
on
it?
The back of Inside Xbox, which a lot of people were disappointed with, so...
Yeah, I mean, that has definitely, like, ramped up, hasn't it? I mean... I don't think you would have been seeing as many comments saying like "lol Xbox" on RIP Xbox if Xbox hadn't have had any show or had a good show. I don't think we would have been seeing that. But again, it's like, and it kind of annoys me in the sense of, from Microsoft's point of view, like what are you guys doing? Like, how have you allowed this to happen? This narrative again, like look, it's not as anywhere near as bad as the. And some people are trying to make up like this was as bad as like 2013. They just have to laugh at that. It's like, no, it isn't. No, it isn't.
Like, no, it's completely
ridiculous,
different.
Like, if people think that. But I will say that. I will say it's nowhere near as bad as 2013. But if they do not have a good showing at this July event, this first party event, they are in a bit of trouble, in my opinion. Because everyone is putting their hopes on that, literally. Like, literally, you have people on the fence saying, literally saying, well, my decision will be made based off that event. I mean, I don't think that's even like a thing to think is laughable. I think a lot of people will be thinking things like, you know, if you're undecided which to go for, and you've thought, oh, well, I've, you know, I like Xbox again. They're doing cool things with Game Pass. You know, they've been consumer friendly. But if they don't show me games, then why would I switch back? So,
yeah, if I was them, I would very much steer clear of the gimmicky presentation and setup of the show, and I would try and really just draw it back to this is the console, these are the games, enjoy. Do not green screen weird backgrounds and give too much time to people who really not like aren't relevant, but like there was so much commentary in that Inside Xbox show, and it was just a bit like, all right, like these things are interesting, but hit me with all the game stuff. And if I want to find more, then I will go and listen to some dev commentaries or some dev interviews. Like those things are great in their own right, but stuff like that, I mean, I despair to think that's going to be their main show.
I don't understand why they don't have, say, their first party event, whatever, they're going to have a few people talking, obviously, but why not have it where it's just a complete show reel basically of games? Like, you can have like the intro, the first couple of minutes, like, hi, I'm Phil Spencer, blah blah, you know, saying all this usual, like, and then go and this is what we've got to show, and then just literally show like 10 games in a row or however many games you've got to show, 10-15 games, and have a little, you know, indie reel where they can show their indies off, whatever it is, and then at the end of it, and then go, right, that's the end of the show, and then have like a little after show where they go, right, now we're going to talk to developers.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be the perfect way, because then people that want to listen to that extra stuff can. But then people that just came for like seeing the trailers could be like, oh, satisfied with that, you know.
Yeah.
Just makes sense to have something like that to me.
I think that would have been good. And another thing they need to do is focus on gameplay, because that's something we're going to jump to now. Because obviously, a big complaint again from Inside Xbox, where was the gameplay? And then Ghost of Tsushima gameplay dropped yesterday, and I think it was like 16 minutes worth of gameplay.
Yeah. If I remember a good solid 16, 18 minutes.
I must admit, this game did look pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny actually, because then the whole narrative around PS5 and like that demo and stuff, and then, you know, this game actually is coming out, like, so it's coming out on PS4 in like 2 months, and it's like, that game, I don't know if you thought, that game to me looked better than like a lot of games that might be coming on PS5 and Series X, which is very strange. But yeah, I liked it. I thought it looked good. I thought it looked like a quality Sony first-party title, like what we've come to expect from them, to me. I don't know. That's the sense I got from it.
Japanese Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, it did look like that. I'm not saying
I don't mean that like negatively either. Actually, they looked good. It did look like they'd done a good job of... If that's what they were going for, anyway, yeah. The transition seemed to work.
It looked to me like you could swap that game for a Ubisoft press conference where they go, this is an Assassin's Creed Japan or something. And you'd be like, oh, yeah, actually, yeah, that looks cool. Looks like Assassin's Creed in Japan. Which I don't think is a bad thing anyway, because I think Assassin's Creed is on a bit of a... It's on an upward trajectory, even though, obviously, Valhalla... Like the trailers and stuff haven't been great so far, but I think in general,
the less said, the better about Valhalla to this point.
Yeah, but I think in general, Assassin's Creed is on an upward trajectory. So, going in that direction with the game, I think you were mentioning, maybe mentioned Luke, that maybe Red Dead 2 as well. Like, it looks a little bit like.
Yeah, when he was riding the horse, that reminded me a lot of Red Dead.
I mean, visually, I expected the game to look great anyway. Sucker Punch make really nice looking games. They made like Infamous, which. Is notoriously really good-looking game on the PS4, so I wasn't shocked by that aspect. It looks just fun to play as well to me. It just looks like one of them fun open-world sort of... Open-world, but not too open-world, if that makes sense. Kind of looked quite contained, didn't it? Didn't look like, I don't know, a game like... It didn't even look as big as like Red Dead. It looked like a smaller version, so... A more manageable game, so... But yeah, it just... and then you see the comments saying, RIP Xbox and all this, and it's like... They brought it on themselves, though, because that's all Sony had to do. As soon as they ended, all they had to do was, like, let's just show this PS... And it's not even a PS5 game, it's a PS4 game.
PS4.
It makes it even more, like, jarring for Xbox, I think, at the minute. Because obviously they've got Last of Us 2 coming out as well the month before, so... You know, it's... they've got two high-profile games.
Something we've always complained about, though. PlayStation and Sony have good first-party games that people are interested in, and if they've got them in their back pocket, they can do something like this and drop it.
See, I think my thing is Sony, they do deserve criticism a lot of the time. They do make some silly mistakes. I mean, they have made errors in the PS5 reveal. There's no doubt about that. You know, the Mark Cerny thing was a stupid way to reveal a console. They've been silent for too long, in my opinion. They sometimes appear a little bit arrogant and things like that, which I think is true. But one thing you've got to say about Sony is when they show their first-party games off, they usually show them off well. And they seem that they know their audience as well, which is... One area that I think Xbox is still struggling with, I don't know if you would agree with that, I don't think they quite know what audience they want to go for. They're trying to go for everyone.
You can see that in their presentations, and the way that things are structured and act like genuine. I know I've just said the word, but the way that they present things to you as an audience, it's a little bit... I find it a bit awkward sometimes to watch what Xbox do.
Mm. Yeah, no, I agree. And I think this is the thing about Sony. Like they know what their audience is. They know that most of their audience wants... You know, mature games that are sort of, you know, a lot of them are adult rated games, but, you know, that's what they've gone for. But they still have, like, the thing about Sony is they still have other options as well. Like, they have the sort of Ratchet and Clank, like, kiddie games and stuff like, oh, that's fine. But they focus more on the games that they know their audience wants. And, well, I don't quite think Microsoft know what their audience, or that they don't appear to know what their audience wants.
I agree with what you just said. Actually, sorry, I can't remember which one of you just said this. That Xbox is a little bit all over the place. Like, they want to appeal to someone who wants a home system that they can use to watch anything on, essentially. Yeah. Then they want people to play games. And now they are talking about, obviously, they are going more in the gaming direction.
Oh, yeah,
but for too long, it's been a little bit all over the place. Whereas, what was PlayStation's old slogan on the PS4?
For the players.
Yeah, and they just... gave you great game after great game after great game. So if you're a gamer, I guess it just seemed to appeal to you the most. I think they doubled down on that, whereas Microsoft for too long went looking for just a bit of everything, and it really hurt them.
I think it's even more obvious. I mean, we can get onto this now about they're changing their logo, aren't they? They're changing their studio logo, PlayStation. For next gen, it looks like they're changing it to what was the name of it? PlayStation? It's just called PlayStation Studios now.
So yeah, it was just the branch basically to bring everything under one.
Because it was previously Sony Interactive Entertainment, and then you always saw that, didn't you, at the start of like a game like Sony Interactive Entertainment. Now you're going to see PlayStation Studios before every first party game. But
I like it.
they said, didn't they, in that thing, like, I think it was Herman Hulst, who's the, I don't know what his actual title is at Sony, but I know he's basically the head honcho of the gaming division now. So I think he said, didn't he, that basically this means you know to expect a great, basically saying, bigging them up, saying you know to expect a great experience that you know have come to expect from Sony. So that signals to me that with this rebranding, that they're going hard again on the hardcore gamer route, which I think makes sense. I don't see why they would change, to be honest. I mean, that's what won in the generation this gen, pretty much. So,
yeah, stick to what's working.
Stick to what's working.
Yeah. We've seen that for I don't know, decades now. You think about when the 360 was king, what did they focus on? Games or being an entertainment system?
All games. I will say, though, to be fair to Microsoft, they're obviously not, they are focusing on games now. Like, they're far away now from the sort of TV 2013 reveal. I mean, Phil Spencer has changed the rewrite the ship. I mean, I know, if anything, they're actually, I don't think I've heard anything about entertainment or anything, so, which is good. We don't want to hear stuff like that. It should be a given anyway. You get the basic entertainment options.
Like, Luke was just mentioning there, it's like, oh, well, what works? Well, obviously, we're going to stick with it. People want games, like, you know, for the players and all that. I know that's been rebranded now. But, like, if Xbox would have done that from 360 to Xbox One, well, Xbox still would have been the dominant force, because people just inevitably want to play games on a games console. It's common sense.
My only worry is with Microsoft, and I think, I'll be interested to see what you two think, if you agree with me or not. My worry about Microsoft going to this gen is, they're clearly not going on the same path as Sony in terms of this is for the hardcore gamers. Now, they're trying to be with the power and stuff like that. Like, we want to retain our hardcore user base, but it does seem to me that they're going more along the lines of, obviously with Game Pass, like, we want to just get as many titles out as possible on Game Pass. And whether that, and that does, to me, I get the sense they mean more, right, we're going to maybe make smaller games, more AA games. Like, yeah, you'll get the odd Halo, you'll get the odd Gears, AAA, you'll get maybe the odd new IP that's AAA, but it seems like they want to just ramp up how many, that's why they bought all these studios, in my opinion, because they want to ramp up how many games they can put in Game Pass in a short amount of time, which does worry me a little bit. That does slightly concern me.
Quantity over quality.
And I'm not saying some of these games will be good. I'm not saying that all these AA games are going to be bad. Like, some will be really good, but I don't get the sense that a lot of these Xbox fans that are clamoring for Naughty Dog levels and Sucker Punch levels, you know, Guerrilla sort of levels of development with their games, I'm not sure. I don't know if we're going to get that next gen. I hope I'm wrong.
One of the big criticisms with, like, Netflix, for example, is that there's just so much stuff on there.
Just too much on there.
Yeah, but there's only, like, to a lot of people,
a few things that you want to watch.
A few things worth watching, whereas you'd rather have Game Pass, I guess, have less titles but better games.
But then Microsoft would probably come back at me and say, well, look how successful Netflix has been with that model.
It's also the one thing that's always criticized about it. It's like, it's good because I can watch, like, X, Y, and Z shows, but look at all the rest that are like, oh god, I wouldn't even pay attention to it. So I
think you get the sense we might see that next gen, though.
Yeah, at least to begin with. And the reason I say that, and one of my biggest, like, fears for Microsoft at the beginning, at least, of next gen, is that we all know if you buy a PlayStation 5, there will be PlayStation 5 games.
Yeah.
And that's on the bottom line, right? Yeah, only on PS5. And Microsoft will get there with Xbox, but we know it's at least 1 year away, probably two, because pandemic and setbacks and all that goes with it. So it could even be three. By the time we actually get to the point where Xbox is going to deliver the quality of those devs that you've just mentioned that are on PlayStation side, it could be 2 or 3 years into the generation, and then it's gone again.
Well,
that's what I'm just really disappointed about. Like, I understand the consumer-friendly approach, what they're doing to keep the family of consoles and family of gamers together and stuff. It's great. It's really good value for money, and all they do with Game Pass is 100% commendable. I can't even say a bad word about it. But the flip side is, you take away your big guns for the next gen of being able to say, look, this is only available on Series X. It's amazing. You can experience nothing like it. And that, it's like point versus point on, like, unique selling points. Do you want to stick with what you've got now and make everybody happy and continue to support the family of consoles and blah, blah, blah? Or do you want to get something new and take that risk and say to people, here's the money, you outlay it for the new console, it's £500, but these are the experiences that you pay for. And Yeah. I'm like struggling to, just because I'm a hardcore gamer, right? Like, really, in all essence, I should buy PlayStation 5.
But, well, yeah, I mean, that's...
But I might not because of like brand loyalty.
Well, yeah, whatever, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously, a lot of things come into it, like where your friends are. I get that, like where your friends are, where you've purchased things before, so you don't want to like feel like you've wasted money and stuff like that. I get that. Because things obviously are going to carry over more and more with each generation. I get that. But I think it seems like Microsoft, to me, are trying to... It's like they know their first-party output isn't going to be as good as PlayStation, so they've gone, right, let's just focus on making the third parties happy. Let's make a machine that's ridiculously powerful and can show off the third-party games in a great light, which makes sense. But I would say that if you're someone that's like, right, I'm only going to play third-party games, I'm only going to play games from third parties, then you'd probably choose Xbox most of the time, right? Because it is going to be the most powerful system. It's probably going to run most games, maybe slightly better than PS5, but we don't just play third-party games, do we? We want the best for first-party games. That's the problem. Most people want games from Sony and Microsoft, because they're usually the games that utilize the hardware best. You know, and that's the problem for Microsoft, I think. If it was just a third-party machine, the Xbox, they'd probably win, but it's not.
It's not, yeah, exactly. Like, it's not going to feel like a next generation. And no, it's just, that's the one thing that saddens me. Yeah. Like, I play a lot less games in terms of variety than I ever have before in my life.
Yeah.
I main a few games at a time. I don't have tens and tens of games installed at once. It's very much different for me now. So I can buy the Series X and be quite happy with my purchase, but also think like, oh man, I wish I had a bit more like bang for your buck, if you like. But yeah, I just think that in general, people will see the Series X as like a stepping stone somewhere in between this gen and next, and the PS5 is just going to be next gen. That's what I think a lot of people will be saying.
I think you're right about that, Purs. It is probably... And this is the problem I have with the whole narrative thing around Xbox. I think, obviously, that, you know, the games are going to look great on both consoles so far. It's going to probably look amazing on the Series X, to be fair, certain games. But do you think we're going to get this whole argument, fanboy argument of, yeah, but I could just play this on the Xbox One X and it'd feel the same? Whereas on PlayStation, you might get, oh, this isn't possible on the PS4. Seems like that it might be a narrative that could come true.
I think that's kind of what I'm going for in that argument. It's like, really? I should probably just keep my Xbox One X.
Well, yeah.
As many people should. Yeah, like,
especially... That might be the sensible thing to do. If you've got an Xbox One X, get a PS... Like, if you're one of the... Like, if you're all in on Xbox, fine, get the next Xbox, whatever. But if you're someone that's a bit more like, I don't really mind changing. Like, if you've got an Xbox One X, and say you've only got... Like me, I'm a good example. I've only got a normal PS4 and I've got an Xbox One X. The sensible thing for me would be, trade in my PS4 or whatever and buy a PS5 and keep the Xbox One X.
Yeah.
They're going to be backwards compatible, both of them, so...
I think about it more in, like, technical terms now going forward. Like, say, for example, fall comes and I have my Series X and I'm playing a co-op game. Like, for example, everyone knows, like, I play Destiny loads. If I'm playing, like, if I'm doing a raid or something and there's six of us and I'm the only one with a Series X, I'll load in and I'll have super fast loading times and everything's going to look nice, and then I'll be like, all right, waiting for my mates to catch up. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Load
that's
in.
That's it. I mean, it's...
Load in. And I'm sat there like, great, I paid to wait, basically, because my stuff loads faster than theirs. I think unless you're in, like, if you're a co-op gamer and you play with friends all the time and you all have the upgrade, it's going to be great. But if you're in situations like that, and I know I'm probably being a bit specific here, but hey, then people do game in similar ways.
That happens to me now.
Yeah, like, that even happens now when we play, like, Warzone, Xbox, for example. So, I don't know if I want to be sat in that position thinking, like, look at my shiny new tech and it doesn't actually benefit me all that much. When you go, like, competitive, before you jump in there, when you go competitive, it's a bit different because if you get more solid frames, you technically can perform better, but I guess the whole thing is a bit of a rabbit hole.
Yeah. I was going to say, I must admit, though, speaking about that, I have contemplated and mentioned in the past that I was thinking about buying an Xbox One X and then buying the PS5.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, from what we heard anyway early on, that, well, there's going to be no next-gen games anyway for at least a year. So I could make the half step with the Xbox One X and just go with the PS5 to have my new shiny thing.
Well, the Xbox One S is actually pretty cheap at the minute because they're trying to clear the stock.
I was just going to say that. Like, so you could now, pick now one up now.
One
you could keep it for like 2.5 years and probably not miss out on much. So, yeah. You know, that's might, the maybe that's something the to next look into, gen risk.
If you're thinking about it. But, because that is another thing that Xbox do have up their sleeve, actually, don't they? We didn't, I haven't really mentioned it yet, but they do have this Lockhart console that's rumoured. Well, they're pretty much 90% certain, people say.
Maybe yeah, it's we know a $100 one.
I mean, I hope not, because $400 seems a lot of money for a console.
Yeah, $400 isn't
it's the same as Xbox
house.
One X.
Yeah,
I thought they had three tiers. So. I thought they were going to have three. Well, they were going to have one that's dirt cheap, which would not be very powerful. They were going to have one mid-ground, which I thought the Lockhart was mid-ground, and then the full.
I think.
No, they're going to leave that as the X. They're going to have the X.
It'll be the S, I think, because I think they're trying to get rid of the X, I suppose. I think they're actually trying to get rid of it. It'll be the Xbox One S Digital or something like that, but they'll try and keep as the real low-tier sort of family console that you can just, you know, pick up for 150 quid, something like that, maybe.
Yeah. Whichever way you look at it, it'll be the point they were at now, rather than, like, a new console. And then Lockhart will be the, we expect, the streaming box, the Game Pass box with no disc drive, if it goes ahead like that.
We don't know if it's going to have a disc drive or not, but that is, I think it makes sense if that one was the one that didn't have a disc drive. You could probably make that really cheap, probably 300, to be honest with you. Probably as cheap as 299, I assume. If it's basically the same specs as the Xbox One X, pretty much. Maybe a little bit better, but not much difference. And then have it as a streaming console where maybe Game Pass is bundled in, things like that. Maybe a membership's bundled in for 300. I think that would be very tempting for a lot of people. But 400 would be too expensive for that, in my opinion. There's no point. I mean, and then if you're going to do it for 400, there's no point even doing it, in my opinion. Yeah. It has to be cheap. That Lockhart has to be at least £150 cheaper than the Series X, if not more.
Yeah, I completely agree. Otherwise, there's just no market no to it. Otherwise, yeah, like, why would you ever buy it? You'd
however,
just,
the
if you,
rumors
if you were,
were
saving, you'd just save a bit more.
That the Xbox One at the start was going to be £550. So if the Lockhart was £150 cheaper, it'd be £400.
I can't see the Xbox being £550. Personally, I think the most expensive, looking at the way things are going and things like that now, I think the most expensive it could be is £500.
Well, at least we'll find out soon.
Whichever way.
Yeah.
When I think about it in that light sense, it does obviously make perfect sense, but I wouldn't pay £400 for a midway upgrade.
No, definitely not. You just pay the extra
£100. It
would make sense if it did come in at £550 being the Series X, and then but that again, I think that would be a huge moment of shooting themselves in the foot.
We're just going off reports. I mean, this just shows the contradictory. There's always reports. Well, there was reports early on saying £550, upwards of £500, and there's reports saying it might actually be £400.
We won't know until we get the price of it.
Roll on June and July.
It will depend on what the other one does as well.
Very true.
You know, if PlayStation comes out at 500, I could envisage a scenario where Microsoft go, do you know what? Do it. Just do it at 400. I can imagine maybe a scenario like that, but it will depend. If PlayStation's 400, then what do Xbox do then? It's like, they'd probably have to come in at 400 as well. So it's interesting. I think, put it this way, I don't think there'll be a scenario where the Xbox is more expensive than the PlayStation 5, personally. I just cannot see that being a scenario, only because of the narrative. Because I think they've learned how much more expensive was the Xbox One?
I do not
remember. It was quite a bit more expensive, wasn't it?
I don't remember on the basis of getting a bundle.
50 quid, maybe 100 quid. It was more expensive.
We paid a lot, I remember
that. We paid more. I remember the PS4 being cheaper, and in general it was like, how is this even possible when the PS4 is a bit more powerful? So I don't know. I don't know if you agree. I cannot envision with what everything Phil Spencer said on price. He's been very coy on the price, but he's hinted at things and said, you know, we're willing to be flexible on price. I cannot envisage a scenario where the PS5 is cheaper now than the Xbox, personally. But we'll see.
Even if it is, like, it has to be close. It can't have like a massive disparity. Like PlayStation, if PlayStation go first and they're like, hey, it's £400. Xbox aren't going to come in and be like, yeah, it's £550, because it's just absolutely
I honestly think
next
they'd have
suicide.
To put it at 400. I just don't think anything above would be. I just think it'd look bad, obviously. I really do.
Yeah, well, it's the same the other way around, by the way, just quickly to finish. If Microsoft do look out first and it's 400, well, then PlayStation 5 ain't going to be 550.
No.
Not 550, but apparently the other way around looks more... Well, that's what the point of the report. The other way, PlayStation apparently can't afford the console to be as cheap as Microsoft, just in terms of the way they operate and things like that. PlayStation
I just mean in terms of the size of the gap. Like, maybe 4 to 5, yes, but when you start adding on, like, another 50, it gets a bit too drastic.
No. It does. And speaking of drastic tiers and money, let's jump into the last topic to cover. Yeah, apparently The Culling returns. I actually didn't know it existed, but it is coming back if you're a fan of it. However, it's in a pay-to-play title, The Culling Origins. So, yeah, this is a weird one. Apparently, it's going to be $6 for the game. And then once you buy that game, you can only play it once a day for free. And if you win the Battle Royale... Oh yeah, I should mention the Battle Royale game if you don't know that. And if you win the Battle Royale, you can have another free game that day. However, if you don't, that's it. You can't play unless you're willing to buy packs. So you could buy tokens to play. And if you buy a 3-pack token, that's $1. 10-pack is $2.99. 20-pack is $4.99. And if you want an unlimited pass, you can pay $2 for 7 days and $6 for 30 days. Wow, aren't you guys tempted by this?
No.
I don't even know what to say. Like, yeah, when you mentioned this to me, like you just said, this is the first I've actually heard of it. I didn't know it was a thing before, and I wish it wasn't a thing coming back. The culling should be culled. Like, it's just horrendous.
Well, let's be honest, it probably will be. With this model, let's be honest, it's not going to last long with this model. I mean, I don't understand what they're doing. Unless they're trying to make a quick buck, literally a quick buck off some idiots that are willing to pay it. I say some idiots, I guess that's probably a bit harsh. I guess people can do what they want at the end of the day. If people want to play it, they can play it. But if you feel like you've got the money to do it and stuff like that, but why would you want to support this model? It's an awful model. Why would anyone want to support it? Like, I don't want to say this because I feel bad for, like, the people that develop the game and stuff like that, but the people in charge of actually, like, marketing the game, they should be ashamed of themselves.
Horrendous.
To be perfectly honest. Like, and to be honest, it's one of them where it's like, I'm not going to be sad when it inevitably dies, which it will, because let's be honest, I think it was The Culling 2, wasn't it? The sequel to this.
Which was free to play, like a normal battle.
Was free to play. Was apparently dreadful, like, really terrible. Apparently it was awful. Literally after 2 or 3 years, no one was playing it. So why would anyone be interested in this? And certainly why would anyone be interested in this with this model? This sort of model should not be in game. Like, it should not be allowed, in my opinion. I don't think it even should be allowed. Because it is literally, this isn't just a case of, this isn't even a case of like what Battlefront did with the loot boxes, purposely making the game long so that you'd have to, but that was still optional at the end of the day. You didn't have to buy it. Like, you literally pretty much forced to buy these packs if you want to play the game properly.
No, dude, you just win every game.
No one's doing that.
I don't understand this. If this was a market that didn't exist, and when I say market, I mean Battle Royale, then it's still borderline illegal, but okay, it's never been seen before. But hold up. Apex is free. Fortnite is free. Warzone is free. The list goes on. What's the point? Who are they hoping to compete with? Who are they hoping to take players off?
An attempt to get a little bit of cash before they probably go under or something. I don't actually understand it. It's weird. It's so weird.
It makes no sense. The only argument I've seen... Well, I'm not arguing. I think someone just threw us up as if to say the only thing I can see is that... It's trying to entice players who think, well, I'm such a great gamer that I'm just going to keep winning. And only the best of the best can carry on playing the game.
Well, maybe he will, because it'll only be him playing. That's given an automatic win. So, but yeah. The worst part about this is, I don't know if you saw in the article, there was actually, like, I didn't watch it, but there was actually a developer. They had the cheek to actually put up a developer and actually talk about it as if it was like, I don't think I'd even have the stones to be a developer saying that, like, literally not lying but being so barefaced to say, yeah, so you have to pay to, you know, 5 sessions is like $2 or whatever, and it's like, you can only play once a day ridiculous.
Once a day. They definitely drew the short straw in the office like sweep there, where it was like, who's going to talk about this? Like, oh, damn it, it's me.
Well, the scary thing is, people think this is a good idea. Someone in that company thought this was a good idea.
I mean, it wouldn't even shock me now if we get loads of comments saying, like, you guys are wrong again and stuff like this, but it's like, I just don't know how anyone could defend this. How can any, like, we got a lot of crap, didn't we, for the Epic Games Store? We got a lot of, like, we got a lot of stick for that. And maybe some of it was justified. Maybe we, you know, we none of us have used it and things like that, so maybe some of it was slightly justified. But at the end of the day, this is completely different. This isn't just about a storefront and how little it's got and things like that. This is literally about pretty much thievery. Like, it's not thievery, but it's as close to thievery as you can get in a video game, in my opinion.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, I don't see this going any other way other than people install the game if they want to, they play a game, they lose, and they go, I'll come back tomorrow. Like, it's just, why would you even...
Do you know
even
what?
If you enjoyed it, it's not like it's like 10p to play again, is it?
This is coming to... Is it on Xbox today? Is it coming out today?
Yeah,
on
it
Xbox?
Came out
today.
Yeah.
I'm actually tempted to download it and play it out of interest. No, not because I'm ever going
to
play the game properly. I just want to see
for my own
eyes. You have to
pay £6 for that.
Oh yeah, it's not even free, is it?
No.
Well, I won't be doing that then. See, if it was free and had this model, I'd be like, do you know what? I might even try a game just to see how ridiculous it is. You know what I mean? Just to see...
That's how they hook you.
Yeah,
but
honestly, the fact that you have to even pay $6 is ridiculous. Like, just
I can't even think off the top of my head of a good argument for this kind of model. Like, this is just utterly bizarre.
And it's a genre as well in Royale. They're just like, you finish, that's it, you win the match, that's it. It's not like
can
you're
I just
getting
say
a great
as well,
story with this, is it?
Can I just say as well, this is an already oversaturated market. What are they even trying to do here? I don't get it.
Yeah, be different, but be different good. Don't be different, like, illegal. Like, don't do that to people. It is strange, though, because, like, from an actual, like, gameplay experience, regardless of which Battle Royale you prefer, when you don't win, or if things go badly in a Battle Royale, you die on drop, it's like, right, how quickly can we get back in? Let's do it again. What is this?
I don't know.
Where's the immersion in that? It's like, oh, we wiped, guys.
Are they trying to capitalizing like gambling addicts or something? Like, I don't actually understand. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, come on, another quid, let's have another get. Like, it's so weird, like, this model. I just it makes me worry for the future of games. Is this the sort of models we're going to be seeing in like 10 years from like bigger publishers? Are we going to start seeing...
Well, this is why it needs to be shot down now.
Yeah, absolutely. Because are we going to start seeing like, oh, you boot up like whatever game it is and it's like, oh, well, you played two games, it's like an extra 50p for the next five games, and that's... The game's free, but you have to pay, like, oh, 50p
Mate,
an hour or something.
EA
like,
would definitely be watching this, and if this took off, they'd be like, right, get that on FIFA.
Absolutely.
Play Ultimate Team, you get 2 free games a day, and if you don't win them, sorry, mate, you've got to pay £2 to play again.
It costs £20 to open the pack, but then you have to pay £1 for each player you want from that pack.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Yeah, probably.
The sad thing is that you can imagine it.
I know. That's what we're laughing about it, but we won't be laughing in 10 years' time.
The monetization possibilities are just endless.
I won't be gaming in 10 years' time if...
Not if it's like that. I think I'd just be sticking to... I'd probably just get an old 360 back or something and just play the odd game on that or something. Rather than go with... You know, if it was like, what's the point? You may as well go back to the dark, like the good old days or whatever.
Not the dark days, the good day.
It'd be the dark days if this happened.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, thankfully this is a bit of a novelty, and this isn't like a major player in the industry. So, I mean, thank God this isn't happening in like Fortnite, Apex, Warzone, something like that, because then it would be like, oh my God, what's going on?
Well, when Blackout first came out, people were complaining a little bit that they had to pay for the Battle Royale. Because most battle royales are free. I mean, granted, it wasn't that many people complaining, but they're still complaining. So if you bring up something like this...
Yeah.
It's the same with, do you remember, I mean, oh God, I can't, I'm surprised even I remember it. Battlefield 5 had one, didn't they? Like, short-lived.
Yeah,
I'm sure
very,
it's still running, but it's...
Short-lived.
And probably is still running, but I don't think many people, I can't imagine many people playing it, but, you know, that came and went with a kind of damp squib as well, didn't it? Because it was like, oh, you have to pay for the game, it's not free.
Mm-hmm.
So it's free. I do think free is the only model for Battle Royale now. I don't think it's even viable, any other model. Like, yeah,
the big players have set the precedent.
Well, there's rumours, isn't there, that Halo's going to have a Battle Royale, which doesn't shock me. But there's also rumours that that part of the game is going to be free.
Well, so, I'd hope so.
I mean, I think it has to be. Because
it just seems so set in stone now. It's like Battle Royale is free, all the money that they make from it, and I dread to even call them microtransactions because they're more like major transactions. There's the Battle Pass, there's packs, there's skins. Whatever way it's marketed within that game, you can spend so much money than you ever would on like a £50 release. You could spend more than £50 in a single, like, oh, I want to open that, or I want to open this, I want to get that skin, I want to get that weapon. You can make so much more money than someone would have ever imagined a few years back on a free-to-play game.
Well, like you've touched on, it has to be free now, I think, with Halo and stuff, because we've already seen two big players come to the party and charge initially. Mm. Granted, Blackout did have a decent amount. Battlefield 5 seemed to fall off a cliff. But then COD has seen Warzone and how popular that's been for free. Granted, I know we're in a pandemic, so maybe more players would have tried it. But more players would have played it anyway just because it was free.
Yeah, no, it would have been popular anyway. Yeah,
so they ain't going back. They're not going to go back.
No. So, like I said, there is no viable option now for me. I don't even think you can justify, like, include it in paid games anymore. I think it has to be its own separate thing. That's why I say the rumors are they are doing a battle royale with Halo, like on Infinite, but it's going to have to be separate.
That's the
Black
Ops 4 example. It was included in a paid game because it was like, oh, you actually bought the game, and this is what you get as like an additional within that. It just doesn't work. Like no one went for that.
No. Mm.
I agree. But, yeah, let's hope that the call-in gets cold, as Perk said, and, we don't
We're
going to
get some fans, like, I guarantee we'll get some call-in fans, like, in our chat, in our comments.
If you're a call-in fan and you agree with this, then I don't know what's wrong with you. You should be complaining and getting these guys to change. But
yeah, I agree.
But yeah, that does bring an end to the show. So thanks for listening as always. And if you are listening to us on YouTube, please like, subscribe and comment with your thoughts below. And if you're listening to us on any audio platforms, please leave us a nice review and also pass on the pod. You can follow the podcast on social media on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at CheckReachPod. Links are in the description below. You can also follow the guys on social media. Where can people find you, Sud?
So it's just at DavidTenspot on Twitter.
Perks?
At JGPerks.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at LEL3DZ9AM for Instagram. Anyway, thanks for joining me as ever, guys. Have a good week, and we'll be back next week to discuss some more gaming news. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.